For Wynn's Working World, I'm Liz Rose of the Economic Policy Institute. A recent New York Times article rediscovered something that's been known for some time. Economic research does not predict that globalization and the trade agreements that write the rules of globalization are win-win. Instead, globalization and trade agreements both give and take. And in the U.S., there are lots of reasons to believe that they've taken a lot more and from a lot more people than is generally acknowledged in our cramped trade debates. We've asked Josh Bivens of the Economic Policy Institute to unpack this for us.
That's right. We made what would be pretty manageable problems caused by international competition much worse with the trade agreements we sign. Even genuine free trade, just removing barriers to foreign goods coming into the U.S., would likely be pretty tough on most American workers. Given the workers without a four-year college degree are a lot more abundant in the global economy than in the U.S. economy, economic integration has put lots of downward pressure on non-college wages in the U.S. And this isn't just a story about manufacturing. Landscapers and construction workers might not get replaced by imports, but their wages are hurt if they have to compete with textile and steel workers whose jobs did get displaced by trade. But the trade agreements we sign and debate, like the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership, have almost nothing to do with free trade. Instead, these agreements are really just exercises in selective protectionism, deciding who's going to get exposed to the full brunt of global competition, like U.S. factory workers. But these agreements also make sure that the rules protecting other people from competition are just made stronger, like pharmaceutical companies that use these agreements to force developing country governments to serve as bill collectors to enforce their patents, which drives up drug costs. Worse, there are some really pressing economic challenges in front of us that smart international agreements would help solve. For example, we could harmonize international taxes on corporations and boost enforcement across countries to address the problem of tax havens. And we could institute measures to stop countries from managing their exchange rates for competitive gain, a practice that has ballooned the U.S. trade deficit in recent decades. And we could adopt a harmonized approach to pricing carbon to make mitigating global climate change more efficient. But instead, we seem determined to march forward with the same old agreements that give to the already affluent and take from the rest. And then we act really surprised when that's exactly what happens.
Thank you, Josh. This is Liz Rose of the Economic Policy Institute. Learn more at epi.org/trade. The views and information in this report are provided by the Economic Policy Institute.